that's an application of that verse, sometimes you know why. Sometimes your Sunday school teachers, you will pick out a verse and try to find some application in life for your young people, and something that is stated in Job chapter 21, sad, but it is stated in Job chapter 21, and found throughout this world, and especially evident in Mark chapter 5. The second place we turn is Mark 5. Job chapter 21, you wouldn't think anybody would be like this. You know, we claim to be a Christian nation, don't we? The nation does, doesn't it? They shouldn't get upset about talking about God, should they? Nor should they, you think, now they do talk about God a lot. They bring in a whole lot of the conversation. But always seems to be the wrong time. And always seems to be in the wrong way.
Amen.
And, you know, just since, Bible says in Psalm 19 that nature tells us, you know, nature, the world I'm talking about, the firmament showeth his handiwork. And if you just take a look at a starry night, I told my wife, you know, you go on a starry night, I said, man, it's going to be a rough night for me.
Amen.
I hate to be an atheist, man. I hate to be an atheist. Those guys got to be, they must wear out their brains just all the time, trying to rationalize and justify everything. I told my wife one time, I look this pretty nice, you know, it's beautiful. I said, man, I'd hate to be an atheist tonight. I mean, at least believe in the Lord, you know, you can really enjoy it. And with a real God, you would think that people would wish to know him, don't you? You'd think somebody would want to know more about him. But a lot of times, if you know too much, you're going to get held too far. And in Job chapter 21, verse 14 says this, therefore, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What does that mean? Could you imagine a creature telling its creator, you better leave. I don't want to know anything about you. That's what that is. That is the pot asking the potter to leave the room. That is the creature telling the creator, the one that is us. Man, listen, God jump-started your heart, buddy. Hey, science hadn't been able to figure out why it started, and even it will stop. Listen, you remember one thing. When it's your time to go, science ain't made a machine yet to keep the soul in the body. They can pump your heart all day long. They keep all your little brain cells pumping and everything else. They ain't found a machine yet to keep the soul in the body. If God wants it, he'll take it.
Amen.
And here's the creature telling the Creator, depart from us, for we do not desire not the knowledge of that of thy way. You say, that sounds crazy. Crazy is exactly what it is. Look at Mark chapter 5 with me. It says, they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. It must have been something like a tongue. Think about that. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. It must have been a rock thing. Well, he was up in the stones, and he was up in the mountain, up there by the rock. He probably, you know, he'd cut himself and crying, and he had to be a rock singer. Had chains on him.
Yeah.
Did it? Well, I'm probably reading something into it in there. But sure fits pretty good, doesn't it? Maybe they make those then, but that would fit somebody's hand, doesn't it? It's probably sequin, too. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him.
Well, he had, that could have been rocks there. He had a lot more sense than rocks there. Now, didn't he? He had a lot more sense than rocks. This guy was nuts.
Right?
This guy was nuts. And listen, if he lived next to your house, you put a bunch of lights outside, what you do. And he had enough sense to fall down at the feet of Jesus Christ and worship him.
He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion." I wonder why I ain't got a rock group with that name yet. "For we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country.
Now there's more to that than that verse, and we'll touch on that.
"Now there was there nigh under the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." Listen, this isn't my story anyway, but how does it feel? You know, you feel important. You're feeling important. Well, how does it feel to know that somebody wants to live in you, and they can't have you, you're the second choice of the pig? You'll be humble a little bit tonight. I mean, just think about this, you know. Oh, them demons are after me. Yeah, well, if they can't get you, honey, they'll take a pork chop. They'll take a ham. Yeah, just a ham and tenderloin. And I just think, yeah, that's kind of neat, you know. We think we're so fine, man, and a demon, if he can't have us, he says, "Well, I'll take a pig." Good night. And all the devils said, verse 13, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. The unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to come on in and talk to everybody in town." Right? No? We just ran into more nuts than was living in a graveyard. "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." Now, we'll go on a little farther later, but I want to key on verse 17. It says, "They began to pray him to depart out of their coast." Let's pray. Now, God, come to you, Father. We are creatures.
Amen.
In this church, Father, there are some very intelligent people. There are people, God, who have abilities and talents. There are people who can sing. There are people who can play musical instruments. There are people who are artistic. There are people who can sew. There are people who can cook. There are people, Father, who math problems and things like that are no problem to them whatsoever. There are people who can engineer things. And all that, and we're still creatures. You made us. God, we can't tell you to leave. We've got no business telling you to go away from us. And Father, we don't ask that tonight. Rather, we ask you to be with us. Rather, we ask God that your presence be here. God, I'm going to ask the Lord, I don't know how many churches there are that you're really not welcome in. But Father, we want you here tonight. These people have come to hear from you. They sure did come from me. God, I cannot give them what they need. I might be able to entertain them. I won't be able to add live my way to God. Even at that, it would be a failure if they don't get what you want to have. So, Father, please, bless the preacher, get out of your way. Put the message where you want it to be. God, let the drawing be clean and clear for them. And help us, God, to get something tonight that will help us to serve you in Jesus Christ's name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you tonight. Can we... We come to Mark chapter 5, and we refer to that passage as the passage with the maniac of Gadara. And I'm not going to talk to you about the maniac of Gadara. There has been enough said about him. There's been enough preached about him. Everybody has heard somewhere something about the maniac of Gadara. And like I said, man, he ain't bad for a maniac. I mean, he's doing a whole lot better than a lot of people that profess not to be crazy tonight. And I'm not going to talk to you tonight about the maniac of Gadara. I'm going to talk to you about the maniacs of Gadara. Now, what is a maniac? Maniac is somebody who does something that is irrational, right? That's basically what we consider. We consider somebody that just, gets whooping and howling and foaming at the mouth and screaming and yelling. And we consider that a maniac. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. But I'm going to talk to you about the maniacs of Gadara. When I say the maniacs of Gadara, what I'm talking about is the other people. The ones who, as Job said, they didn't want to know anything about him. And they sent him away. They said, depart away from us. We don't want to know your way. Amen. Now, there are some characteristics about maniacs, and we're going to look at those tonight. So we're going to look at the things that these guys did, this entire community. It was a city, it was a town, it was a country, and we're going to look at those things. The first thing I want you to know, look over there, down at verse 15, says they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were praying. Well, some fear is good and healthy, you know. Some fear is good and healthy, but you know what? One of the things we notice about these maniacs is they didn't appreciate the abilities of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, that is true today. You know what I think is amazing? Now, here we live in a country, we live in a nation, we live in a world that exalts somebody like Albert Einstein because of all of the calculations he can make and all this stuff he seems to supposedly know, and everybody makes a big to-do about what Einstein was able to do, and they don't make a big to-do about the one that laid this whole universe out.
Amen.
And put it all where it needs to be. How in the world can we claim to be a Christian nation? How can we claim to be a people that care about the Lord when we would make something about a little old mathematician who made some theories that stunk, and in all of that, we wouldn't pay any attention to the one that the architect had designed our universe. It has been stated, it obviously is not my calculation or statistic, but it has been pointed out that if the world was 10% closer to the sun, it would burn up. If it was 10% farther from the sun, it would freeze up. And it all happened by accident. Right? You know what some of you people have done? Some of you people have had houses built. You had your house built, and you had this guy come in, and he put the fireplace in where you wanted to put it, and he did the brickwork away, and he did the trim work. He did all that stuff. Man, you just praised him. You saw he just did such a good job, and he did. And yet in this country, we don't praise the architect of this country, of this world. We don't praise the architect. You know that this is the only planet where there's liquid water in liquid form. It's found throughout the universe in ice form. But you can't drink a glass of ice. You can't drink it. And God has given us a planet that has got plenty of water, and God has been very good to this world and our country in particular, and we don't appreciate his fellows. Isn't it crazy in a world that makes so much? Now, you got to admit, I don't care if you like art or not. Picasso was insane. Anybody says what Picasso did, Pablo Picasso was art. I mean, you think opening the inside of a garbage can is art, all right? I mean, open up an old can of soup, tomato soup, pour it out there at the bottom of the can, that'd probably turn you on, all right? Because nothing that man ever did could ever be, He couldn't, he didn't, hey, he wasn't good enough to be arrested for attempted art. I think one of the funniest things in the world, I go to Chicago about it. I think, in fact, I've been to Chicago in a couple weeks. And one of the funniest things in the world is that Picasso thing that he gave to the city. Well, he gave it to the city, I'll say. And he got that, it looks like an abstract RCA dog. You know? And somebody says, that's art. Picasso said that's art. But just because Picasso said it, that doesn't mean nothing, pal. You know, people, we live in a world that we claim to be so intelligent. How in the world could you be so intelligent
and ignore somebody who's, how could you say you love art and miss the one that put all the colors in the animal?
I like colors.
I've always enjoyed colors. They just do something to me. I think rainbows are neat. And colors. And we can walk into a store, and my wife will see a shirt. She'll know right away I'm going to like it. And she says, I knew you'd like that. I said, well, I said, look at that. She says, I knew you'd like that. I said, how'd you know? She said, I like colors. Now, I just like colors. Maybe I got a certain kind of blood in me. I don't know. But I like colors. I don't even like watermelon, but I still like colors. Did you ever look at flowers? You know, we were over there. The pastor's wife's birthday yesterday. He and I went to the flower shop. And he bought us some flowers. And have all these pictures in here with these flowers look like. And right underneath it, they got the ball. You know, the brown, those little balls are pointed out. The bull looks better here than the picture than does here. And, you know, you look at something like that is that unsightly and nothing to look at, and yet God takes those things, you put them in the ground, and those things will grow up, and they're beautiful. Some make a big thing out of Picasso, not make a big thing out of God. Yeah. You know what our problem with our nation is? Our problem with our nation is we don't appreciate the abilities of God.
True.
You know, if this nation really was concerned about forefronts, they wouldn't kick God out of our schools. Hey, you don't kick out the only help you got. If you remember properly, it was 1962 that the Lord Jesus Christ got expelled. In 1962, God got kicked out of our public school system. Did you know that 1963 was the first year that the SAT test scores went down? You know, it's all these people that they shoot their mouth off about the poor. I can never quite understand a guy like Ted Kennedy talking about the poor. Man, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, if he's that worried about the poor, why don't he give some of that stuff away? I'd line up to get it just to get some from him. I'd just like to get some of his. He said, that's whiskey money. I said, it's about time it got to God's hand.
Amen.
You know, these people, they say, well, we're concerned about the poor. I'll tell you what, he's so concerned about the poor, he's worried about doing this and that. You know what he's going to do next? He's going to do public health. Nationalized health insurance. You say, well, that's what we need, is it?
No.
You wait till you're going to wait 9 hours for an appendectomy just to get into the hospital in a line. And I'm going to tell you, when that happens, I'll guarantee you Ted Kennedy never stand in line once. And a nation that talks so much about its poor and its homeless and its hungry, how in the world can we say that we care about them and take the one that could feed fish? You know what he could do? He could take 5 fish and 2 loaves and feed 5,000 people.
Amen.
Now, if you were concerned about world hunger, why would you run this guy out of town?
Amen.
You have to be crazy.
Amen.
These people did not appreciate it. And let me ask you a question. You think this fellow right here, you think that was the only nut in town? You think there wasn't some mother in town somewhere that had a blind boy? You think there wasn't some father someplace that had a boy that was lame and couldn't walk, and that father was shamed or brokenhearted by his son's appearance? You think there were people like that in that town?
Amen.
And when the guy that could do something about it showed up, what did they do? They asked them to leave. That's nothing short of insane. And nothing short of nuts. Crazy. Here we are, we talk about wanting to get to the moon. And we don't want to talk to one that made it. So first thing I want you to notice about these maniacs, about these nuts, is that they didn't appreciate the abilities of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else they didn't do. They didn't invite a mistake. You know that... That etiquette? Should have mandated that he had an invite? Etiquette alone should have mandated that they asked him to stay. Etiquette alone should have been enough for them to say, hey, look, we'd like you to stay.
If a stranger walked into that town, you think they wouldn't make him welcome? That stranger, he might be there to rob him.
Right.
Here was a man who had just healed one of their own. Hey, some of these guys, they ran with that guy. You might have had the guy stand out there asking Jesus Christ to leave. You might have had the fellow out there who got this guy started on the boat. And yet when somebody was there that could do something about their problems, and somebody was there that could do something about their woe, and somebody that was there that could do something about what they claimed to be concerned about, they never asked him to stay, people. I want to present by like that here tonight. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody tonight, you've got some problems in your life. You've got some things that's kind of messing you up. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody tonight, you just don't know, you say, I don't know which way to turn. Well, I know which way you should turn. You say, well, I can't turn that way. Why not? Good night, if you're a psychiatrist. You know, there's a few things I take very personal, I get very upset about. One of the things I get upset about is how the press is so quick to condemn all us preachers. And they're so quick to tell you you need a psych. Do you know that the profession that has the greatest number of suicides in the country is psychiatry?
Yes, sir.
You know, you're living in a nation where they're going to tell you that the guy that can help you is a guy that can't help himself. Here is a guy that he is going to deal with you at $60 an hour. $60 is probably what it was years ago. It probably is much higher than that. What do they charge it for you?
Thought I'd check.
And this guy is going to tell you exactly and all about your inhibitions and how you don't feel good about yourself and everything else, every other thing. And right after you walk out of the office, he's going to go out on his fifth-story window and jump off. You're going to go down the elevator and walk outside, see a crowd around there following you as your guy. You say, well, I wish you to jump before I pay him $60. These people did not invite the Lord Jesus Christ to stay. Well, how many times have you had him in and didn't invite him to stay? Now, what I mean by when I say you've had him in, I say you've had some things you've had to pray about, haven't you?
Amen.
You ever have a crisis? You ever have a woe? You ever have a grief? You ever have a problem? You ever have something that the Lord just had to intercede on, and you let him know how grievous it was and how concerned you were and how only he could take care of it? Haven't you ever had anything like that? Listen, I'll tell you right now, some of you ain't fasting now, but you have.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, some of you have spent all night up in prayer, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know what the Lord did for you? I'll tell you exactly what he did. He came in and took care of your problem.
Amen.
And as soon as he did, you know what you said? You go in.
Amen.
What's the matter? Pray you go look in your bedroom?
Amen.
What's the matter? Pray you go check out your library? If he can take care of one problem, don't you reckon he can take care of another?
Amen.
Oh, I know, you can handle it from here on by yourself, right? Be like the fellas up on a roof one time, this old country, old country boys up on this roof. He got, you know, one of them steep roofs. I don't like them steep roofs, all right? And I know they do a lot for my prayer life, but I just soon get my prayer motivation some other way. And this old boy's starting to slide down this roof. Now, I'll tell you what, ain't going to be no these and thous in your prayers. You start sliding off the roof. You ever slide off the roof? And this old boy starts sliding off this roof. And he prayed quick. He said, Lord, help us! And as he went over the side, the gallows from his coverall called on a nail and stopped him. And he said, oh, never mind, Lord, it's nailed up. You know what, people? We want enough of Jesus Christ to take care of our problems. But we don't want so much
that He changes our lives. You know, Father, to ask you tonight, if you want revival, you tell me, yes, you do. If no other reason, you tell me that because you're supposed to say that. Hey, anybody, look, if you don't want revival here tonight, hey, there ain't one of them going to be honest enough to say, oh, I hope they don't have revival. I don't think anybody's that honest. I'm sorry. I still think. And so if I ask you, you're going to say, we're praying for revival. I mean, like, what if I told you he's going to have a revival in this church this week? Would that excite you?
Amen.
What if I told you that revival was going to hit tonight? That excite you?
Yeah.
What if I told you that revival was going to hit if we all stayed here till about 1:30 this morning?
Amen.
There isn't any member. I'll tell you. You'd be amazed how we think God ought to fit into our plan, and He ought to fit into our schedule. I mean, we're Americans. Doesn't He realize we're busy? These people never invited Jesus Christ to stay. You know every place Jesus Christ has ever gone? He knows better. Every place He has ever been, blind eyes could see when He left town. Deaf ears could hear. Crippled legs could walk. And here in the entire nation, this community knew it.
Amen.
This community knew it. If they didn't know it, they knew about this guy. But they never invited him to stay. You know what I think? I think they're maniacs.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else. You know how crazy they were? Do you know how crazy this group was? You know what they made their decision on? The price of faith.
Amen.
That's what they made the decision on.
Amen.
They took one look at 2,000 dead pigs. And some good brother was standing there with a calculator. And he figured all that stuff up. And he said, guys, we are about ruined. He was kind of like Santa Ana after the Alamo. Santa Ana took all that Alamo, and they say he defeated, he killed 180 Texans at the cost of 1,500 of his own troops. 1,500 troops to kill 180 Texans. I like that. I ain't even Texan, I like that. And if you think I like to go to Texas, well, they love it. They love it down there. And Santa Ana made the statement after that. He said another victory like that would kill us. So another victory like that would destroy us. Yeah, it would. You know what they did? This group of geniuses, this fine, upstanding crowd, you know what they did? They looked at one of their own. Hey, you know what they'd seen? They seen that boy raised him down. And this was no stranger. Not like them TV evangelists, you know. The healed. And nobody's ever seen him before, nobody ever sees him since. The guy gets healed. We call him the maniac of Gadara. I don't mind telling you at all that when the report hit town, they probably called him by name.
Amen.
Do you know the Geronimo got saved? The Indian, Geronimo. I was in Texas, and this fellow's telling me, he said he read a testimony of Geronimo. And Geronimo, you know, after he kind of got semi-civilized, he was some kind of almost like a circus sideshow, you know, see the Indian that scared the West and all this other. Said he was at a train station and some Christian witnessed to him in the name of Christ. You know what Geronimo's testimony was? He said this. He said, I used to enjoy taking little white children and playing catch with them on our spheres. He said, now, I enjoy telling about the love of my Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'll bet when Geronimo got saved, nobody said an Indian got saved. Everybody said, Geronimo got saved. And I bet when this old boy got saved, buddy, nobody went in there and said, hey, some nut that was living out town in the tombs got saved, got straightened out. You know what they said? You know what they said? They said, Zach's son got straightened out. I bet somebody knocked the door on his mother. Knocked his mom coming to the door. I said, boy. Yeah, I know, my son. I know. Tell me one more thing about it. No, you don't even believe this. Oh, I don't believe the last thing they told me about. Wait, no, you ought to believe this. He's okay. He's standing out of town talking to Jesus, and he's got clothes on. God see what clothes you wear. No, no, I mean, he's got clothes on. And he's making sense. In the midst of all that joy, somebody added up what all them pigs cost. And when they found out what all them pigs cost, they said, we can't afford to have a guy like this. So if this guy comes to town, my goodness, man, I got me a little tavern. We're liable to lose all of our customers if they get saved. Now, he may have prohibition on his mind. I'm a constable. If this guy comes in and stops all the crime, what do they need me for? Song, the price of pigs. They told me one. You think that's crazy? I think it's crazy. I think it's one of the dumbest decisions ever made by man. Somebody with the abilities of Jesus Christ wants to come into town and heal folks and help them. And he's denied admittance on the price of pigs. You want to know what else is crazy? Some of you have refused to mention some very same reason. Remember when, I might send this here to you. Remember when our hostages were over there in Iran? You remember all them posters that went up, you know? I mean, government put billboards up, you know, pray for the hostages. Remember those? Pray for the hostages. The government said that. Our government said, pray. They told me to pray. Of course, they forgot the other, part of the rest of the billboard. It was supposed to say, pray for the hostages, but not in public school. That's what it was supposed to say. I said, man, you know, if I didn't get to public school about that time, you know what I think I'd have done? I'd have told them to go in there on Monday morning as soon as they said class in session. I'd have said, just get down on your knees and go down and start praying. Anybody in your head? Amen. And they said, what are you doing? I'm doing what my government told me to do.
Amen.
And that same God that was supposed to go and get our hostages back, when he did, Peter said, okay, now can I go to school? He said, you stay out of school. He said, you stay away from my property. That's all. You know what? Somebody's been counting the cost. That's why. You know why God will never give some of you folks revival? tell you why. But you don't want it. Because if it ever comes, it is going to so upset your normal everyday lifestyle that you don't ever dare have it happen.
Amen.
And you're going to come into church every time there's a revival. You're going to say, maybe this will be it. That's fire. Maybe we'll get that revival today. And say, but God, please, please don't mess up what I got going. I got a good deal going. You know, it's sad to think that the price of pigs, a pig, a dead pig, chosen above the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it was. You know what I think you have to be to make that kind of choice? I think you got to be a maniac.
Amen.
I think you got to be nuts. That's what I think. I'll tell you something else I've noticed about these nuts. By doing that, by denying Jesus Christ admittance into their town, they miss greater blessings. He knows in leaves town, but he heals a woman with issue of blood. By the end of the chapter, he raises the little girl from the dead.
That's right.
And in the very next chapter, chapter 6, verses 3, 4, 5, 6, right in there, sends him back to his own country. And it says there wasn't very many believed on him. And said because there wasn't very many people believed on him, he was only able to heal some sick folks. He was only able to do that. He did more where the people didn't believe on him than he could heal.
Amen.
This must have been a proud group here. Because of their community action. Because of their community action. Some crippled kids in Gadara went to bed that night. Still crippled. Would you like to do something about the ghetto? You better remember something, folks. Ghettos are like cancer. If we ever get rid of them, too many people take care of them, we're going to be out of work.
Yeah.
In a nation of the poor and the hungry, we miss it. You know, I can't get over it. I traveled this summer. You know how the drought was, and you may as well know it. Round 2's on its way this summer. Yeah, it's been a mild winter, and listen, nobody appreciates a mild winter more than I do. I got enough physical problems that cold weather tears me up. Just this turn of Wednesday just tore me up. And I got to live in a trailer where everything freezes up in it. And I am more than happy to have a mild winter. But the lack of snow is going to keep our water tables low. And in a nation that had a drought like that, when the Lord finally gave them a drought, hey, you know what it said? I heard the news. It said here in Ohio. It said in 11 days, there was enough rainfall to save the corn crop. In 11 days in Ohio. Well, who you reckon did that?
God.
And you know how we said thank you?
Yeah.
We said thank you to the little flick called The Last Temptation of Jesus.
Amen.
How's that for thank you?
Amen.
I'd like to do something for somebody, but their way of saying thank you is to let everybody know that you're some kind of pervert. Man, it's all things that don't dwell on what this says. People, if anybody in this country is concerned about the poor, Jesus Christ would be welcome with open arms.
If anybody in this country is concerned about the hungry, Jesus Christ, be welcome with open arms. If anybody in this nation was concerned about the sick, Jesus Christ would be welcome with open arms.
Amen.
And he knows. The preacher, we were talking today, you know, he says, you know, you get in some of these psych wards in the street. You get in some of these places, you know, somebody's got busted for drugs. And before you get in there, they got their psychologist comes in and talks to you and says, now, his problem is his sin. You have to be careful of what you say. You might upset him if he thinks there's something wrong with him. Well, there's something wrong with him. And it's sin.
Right.
I've never quite understood that crowd. Don't they say we use scare tactics? Don't they say? They say, oh, you guys use scare tactics. Hell, you use scare tactics. And they're running around talking about stop the nuclear weapons. Sounds like scare tactics to me. Aren't they out there saying, you're going to beware of acid rain? Yeah, I know, look, but that would be over a hat. Hell, move on. Oh, I like this. I like this part of say, it's a great thing. I saw one newspaper where they tried to scare everybody about AIDS so that they could get more money for research. And there was two articles on AIDS. And on one side of the page, they said, you know, it's coming, and we need more money because everyone's going to have it. And now that's to get your wallet.
Right.
And the other article was, oh, don't worry, it's not, but it's not. Because see, if they ever said it's something queer, America would take care of AIDS overnight.
That's right.
What do you think? You're trying to get the salt rifle. I bet there's a whole bunch of queer people that's great ideas. I bet there's a whole bunch of, take those nasty guys. Now we're using on you, buddy. We're going to cure some AIDS.
Amen.
I'll just put them on the island. They'll do everything they want. About 3 years, AIDS will cure itself. You say, that's not very caring. I care for you.
Amen.
I don't care for a queer. I care for a pervert.
Right? Amen.
I care for a man who's just, well, there's a woman locked up inside of me. Well, let her out, man. Let her out. Probably throw him up. Don't you think more to take care of the problems we have in this country? Isn't it crazy a world that talks about they're worried about peace would refuse to print? Crazy people is just what it is. It's lunacy.
Yes.
Listen, anybody who takes the Prince of Peace. Now wait. Wouldn't you think a guy that could make a line and lay down and get it to take care of more peace?
Yes, sir.
If this world, if this country of ours really cared about peace, if they really care about peace, don't you think they'd fight anybody?
Amen.
Do you ever wonder how many poor people are in this nation wouldn't be poor right now if the Lord Jesus Christ was fighting him? You know, illiteracy is rising in this country.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the monument to our public education system. They achieved their goal. They made everybody equally stupid. And so because these people put it out, because these people asked him to leave, because these people didn't want it because of the price it pays, and this greater blessing. You were something you've missed. I think you missed it. You missed it right smack dab in the middle when God was blessing you.
And as soon as he got done, you told him to back off. Because you were afraid he was getting to where he was going to start costing you something.
Amen.
You want just enough of a blessing to take care of your little problem.
Only this time, you know what he was doing?
the people preaching down on the street.
Amen.
I think those fellows, Joe, they got in there and they had their plan all worked out, and they were breathing a sigh of relief that the Lord was gone now. And about the time they hit the outskirts of town, they heard something. What is that? What is that sound? Down the street corner, right in old town, I know we're standing there, we hit the right line, the whole road land. I want to tell you people that Jesus Christ is the only hope that they ever had. I want you to know that you've just come out the Lord of glory. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you that he was going to take out him out of town, but still be I love that. I mean, they got him out. And they thought that all their problems were over. You know what happened? The problems were just beginning. You know why? Because this guy was one of their own. I mean, he was right there. Hey, listen, pal. When some of them guys walked back into town that day, don't you know there's he's alive. Don't you imagine there was a fight in here somewhere? Wondering how he has so miserably failed his case. Don't you know there's probably somebody sleeping somebody else's wife? Because I imagine they sleep and there wouldn't be much problem. It could be out that thing. That old woman,
did you read that book? I think about verse 21, in it where it says that all through the capitalist? Is he free? You know what it says? I'm going to Bible map someday. I'm going to go talk about it. We're going to Bible map. This kid hit the ground running, folks. I mean, he went everywhere with the gospel. And this old boy, I mean, he got his blessing, man. He got his blessing. And he just went everywhere telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's so funny. But they ran Jesus Christ out and couldn't get away from him.
Amen.
You know, I laugh, huh? Because here, they can be here, and then they're going to come back. It's like any of this. Jesus come along, and Peter didn't make those. Jesus come along, and they're just to me. I thought you were
And they have Jesus come along in California. I got some good friends there. I'm still hoping to call me here. I'm going there this fall, preach, and I still think it ought to fall in the ocean. I kind of hope it's really funny. And this Jesus seminar, these good doctors got together, you know, these CMOs. They all got their heads together and they said that Jesus, he would be appalled. He never said he was going to come back again. He never said he was going to set up a kingdom. And he would be appalled at what the fundamentalists have twisted his message. And they said, you know, Jesus never claimed to be God. And he did claim to be close to God. You know, close like, not close like, I'm almost God, close like I'm close to God. You know, I feel close to God. You know, I think, like those guys in that room, you know what, when all those imbeciles get in that room, I just get just about down the hill. They just about, I mean, you know, there's nothing more rewarding than to have a stupid theory and have somebody stupid enough to say it sounds good. And I think that makes you really to have somebody take your right there as a doctor and say, yeah, that makes sense. I think they get in their little room and they're in the room and they're in the room. You better believe that they do. That's exactly what they do. They look at the Hebrews and they say,
when they are almost got themselves in there. Everything's going to be okay. They walk outside. Drop out, you'll get mad, you're going to give up.
I'll get it. I guarantee you about the time he turns the belly up and tries to pull right about that time over here. Pay enough of the test. You just remember one thing. You can't tell you. I'm just going to take you to the door. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You can't. 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 And you're going to hear the message down there. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. It doesn't matter.
I'm going
to hear it. No, that's not the
and go home.
Infidelity to her husband will become known to everybody in the universe someday. Now, you don't think that woman is a fool? Well, I'll tell you about bigger fools. Bigger fools are this whole town that came out to see the Lord of Glory. You don't know about another nut. You hear the knock. There might be somebody here who's dealt with you about something he desires you to do, but not me. But I don't. I don't know what you did. You preacher don't know. Well, he might have. Number 381. Number 381. Don't you reckon you can do something crazy like this? I'd like to say, you know, that I couldn't be outdone by God.
Oh, in your name.
Because you told him not to come in.
You asked him to leave. He didn't care.
Are you going to wait till you get to the point that way yet? The Lord's dealt with you.
Sing a third verse.
We step out.
Step out of the circumstance.
Jesus is waiting. Don't come to him now. Waiting today. Waiting today. I'm with my sin. Daddy,
you remember? hope you keep the grace of God in your life. But that won't be one of them. That'll be the 100% perfect, most happiest, and blessed thing you've ever been. Now, that's the case for a lot of things
God, and I'm thankful, Lord, for your Christ and doing the walk of the one crazy time. willing to change and ask the Lord to allow fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and Father, we pray that the Lord is in the now that we might bring it back safely, and the Lord can take it home safely. And Lord, make this message a thing. Lord, to do our duties day in and day out and come to God, the Word of God will purify the place, Lord, that we'll be brought back to the remembrance of the Lord, that we'll be ready to be convicted and pray and ask for revival. God, I pray that you might say, I pray that the soul might be saved, I pray that you might bring us back to life, and back to you, and ask you to give you Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we'll bless you.